At this time, we continue our sermon that comes to us from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. For in the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue our sermon series, Glory Days, as we journey along with the Israelites as they enter into the promised land that God had given them. We began all the way back in the book of Genesis with the promise of God to Abraham himself in chapter 12. And God said, "Your descendants will number the stars of heaven, and this land, the land of Canaan, I will give to them." Well, it has been a long journey, but they are finally here to the point where they are entering into their promised land. And as we think about our walk with God as the people of God, God calls each of us to enter into a promised land that He has prepared for us in Christ Jesus. God desires each one of us to know a life that is more than conquerors in Christ. God wants us to live a promised land life now where our hearts are never downcast, but rather a life that we find grounded in the love of Christ Jesus, where we are anxious for nothing, but in everything we give glory to God. This is a life that God desires that we may know, so that we may know His life in that abundant. We may know the freedom He so deeply and generously gives, that we may have that and walk in His ways and know His joy. But we know that just as the Israelites went through so much to enter into their promised land, so do we as well. And some of the deep truths that God taught the Israelites in their journey across the Jordan are truths that we need to know as we seek to enter into the promised land that God desires to give to us. Today, as we take a look at their journey across the Jordan, they get to the other side, and one of the very first instructions God gives to Joshua is He says, "Get 12 men to go and get 12 stones. Take this 12 stones out from right where the priests are standing with the Ark of the Covenant and carry them with you into the place where you stay tonight. And then you will build an altar right there of all those stones stacked up, so that in the future, when your children, and they are facing challenges of their own, when difficulties come into the nation, they can look at that pile of stones right there as a monument, as a memorial to the action of God, to the ways that God has worked to get Israel to this place." You know, sometimes it's really important to remember the ways and the times that our lives change. This is one of the reasons why we have trophies and trophy shelves. I was reminded of this earlier this summer. Jen and I, we were doing some work at home. We're cleaning out some rooms and dusting things. And we got to one of the rooms that we were getting things in and ready to dust and whatnot. And Luke was there, and he looked at where we were headed. And it was a line of trophies that he has up on the bookshelf there. And suddenly he looked really worried. And his eyes got bigger, and he said, "You're not going to throw those out, are you?" We said, "No, we are definitely not throwing out your trophies. We'll dust them off, but we're not going to throw out your trophies." Trophies are those things that signify moments of triumph in our life, moments of accomplishment in our life. They can be so important for our journey as we look back in the great things that have happened as we're facing new challenges. You know, it's interesting that the way it works as we seek to find encouragement for the future. There was a shepherd boy by the name of David that we find in Scripture. And you may hear the story about David and Goliath. Well, it's interesting that it says in that story, before he went out and fought Goliath, he remembered how it was that God was with him when he fought the lion and the bear. And so as he was entering out to fight Goliath, he remembered the good things that God had done for him in the past. He knew that he had had great accomplishments, but he knew that it was really God working in and through him that he accomplished those things. And so he knew that God would need to be with him as he faced his Goliath. He faced his giant as well. Well, in the same way, we, as we walk through our spiritual journey, as we seek to enter into the promised land life that God has for us right now, yes, we need to walk and we need to move and we need to be faithful each and every day, but it is truly God who is at work in us and through us. And so what we each need to have is kind of a trophy shelf in our heart, not of the great things we've accomplished, the great triumphs we've experienced, but a trophy shelf of the great things God has done for us and on our behalf. The great places that we've seen God's grace alive. The great moments we've seen God's blessing so alive. For some of us who have had a long journey walking with Christ, we can look back over our lives and we can see many, many points of blessing. Points where God has touched our lives. For some of us who are newer into the faith, we may wonder to ourselves, where might these blessings be? Well, let me encourage you and ensure you that if you are here today, God has been working in your life. God has been pouring blessings into your life. God has been moving in your life, grace upon grace in your life. And one of the great joys is begin to see and discern the way that God has been moving. His hand has been upon you for years now. If we're going to face the challenges of the Jerichos ahead, we need to remember the Jordans behind us. If we're going to face the challenges of entering into the promised land, we need to remember the times where God's great accomplishments in our lives, His great blessings in our life, have helped us get to where we are today. But that's not all that God wanted Israel to know. He wasn't just wanting them to remember the mighty acts of God and how they got to where they were. It's interesting when I think about where they are. They finally passed the Jordan. They've been looking across the Jordan for how many years? They've been wandering around in a desert for 40 years. They're finally entering into the promised land. I can only imagine how many of them, I mean, they're just waiting for God to say, go. They're ready to run. They're ready to claim the land. They're ready to move in. And yet what we find when we move into chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, as soon as they get into the land, God doesn't say, go. God says, stop. In verse 2 of chapter 5, God says to Joshua, he says, look, you need to make sure that all the men are circumcised. Before you go any farther, you need to make sure that all the men are circumcised. Now, when we go back to Genesis, way back to that story between God and Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, we learn that circumcision is a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham, between God and His people. And it seems that during their wilderness wanderings, this was a practice that they had allowed to lapse. And so, before they go any farther, God says to Joshua, these men need to be circumcised. Now, I have to admit, I can understand in one sense why these grown men might allow such a practice to lapse and why they might not want to continue it going forward into the future, because let's face it, it would require convalescing for weeks. The women and children would be gathered there, and who is going to protect them? We already know from the story of Rahab that the other nations around them, they're watching them. They know where they're at. I mean, it surely would seem to be that we'd want to have every warrior, every soldier, everybody ready to go at any moment. But instead, God is not even remotely interested in their armor and their military might or in their muscle. God's interested in something far more important. If we continue reading through chapter 5 of Joshua, the reason is given why they need to be circumcised. It's not just the renewal of the covenant To remember, it's to cut away the debauchery of Egypt and all that Egypt did to them. Egypt had oppressed them. Egypt had enchained and enslaved them. And so they need to be cut away from the past that had been hanging on to them so that they could enter into God's future. They needed to know who they were. God wanted them to understand their identity before they enter into the land God had given them and promised them. They need to be reminded anew of who they are. God was saying to them, you are mine, and in me is now your new identity. It's interesting when we think about the journey of the Christian life and the call that God has for each one of us to enter in to our promised land life now, that something similar is actually given. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, we find it in chapter 2, in his letter to the Colossians, it's written there in Colossians chapter 2. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. When we enter into Christ, Christ is at work, a circumcision of the heart, cutting away the sin in our life that needs to be gone so that we can truly enter into the promised land, so that we can enter in claiming and knowing our identity in God. That's what this is all about. Not only does God want the Israelites to remember the mighty acts that He has done to get them to where they are, He wants them to know assuredly who they are. And as we seek to enter into our promised land life now, we too need that spiritual circumcision of the heart to cut away the sin, to cut away everything that keeps us from knowing and experiencing God's love and grace and freedom right now, so that we could truly know our identity and God. Now, I suspect that some of us here this morning, we may know some of our identity in God, but others of us may not be so certain. And so I am so glad you asked. We have a couple of passages of Scripture from the New Testament that help us learn who we are in Christ Jesus. The very first thing that we need to know is that you are God's child. I don't know who you see when you look in the mirror in the morning. I don't know what you're thinking of, but what I want you to do tomorrow morning is when you look in the mirror for the very first time, I want you to claim your identity. You are God's child. You are a child of God. As we continue on in the Gospel of John, there's this important point where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "You are no longer servants of mine. You are my friends." You are a friend of Christ. You are a friend of Christ. He comes not only to redeem you, He comes to be in a relationship with you, to guide you and lead you. He says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He can lead you into new life. And you can walk alongside Him. But the New Testament has much more to say to us. It says in the very next passage that you are a member of Christ's body. You are a member of Christ's body. You are a member of the people of God. You know, it's not just that you are a child of God. It's not just you're a friend of Christ. Some of us may know that we're a child of God, but we're not really quite certain what we're here for, what the purpose is. Well, by knowing that we are a member of Christ's body, God has given every single one of us a purpose, a reason for being here. You know, because of this analogy, we know that some of us are ears. In the body of Christ, some of us are eyes, some of us are hands, some of us are feet. The other day at one of the Wednesday night prayer services, someone who was speaking, they said, you know the part of the body of Christ I like to be? He said, I like to be the big toe. He said, you ever try to walk without your big toe? You lose stability. He said, I want to be that source of stability. I want to be the big toe. But all of us, our identity in God is each one of us has a part to play that is vital and that is important to the body of Christ. When the New Testament continues on teaching us about our identity in Christ, it says that we are redeemed and we are forgiven. It's not just that we know who we are. It's not just that we are a friend of Christ. It's not just that we have a purpose. But for some of us, we really need to hear and know that we have been redeemed, that we have been forgiven, that the guilt that has been laid upon us, that we've been carrying for years, we can take off and put into Christ's hands because He took all of our sin upon the cross. We don't need to carry that burden anymore. We can live free. Because as it teaches, we are no longer condemned. That's the very next passage for us on the New Testament teaching. And so we are free from condemnation. It's one of those great truths found in the letter to Romans. You are free from condemnation. That means that God invites you into His presence. And when we enter in, we can enter in with the confidence of the children of God. He wants you in His presence that He may heal you and make you new. And so I invite you here in this place, confidently and with joy. And that as you go forth, may you walk in His ways, knowing that He calls you to a freedom that cannot be taken away. Well, the New Testament continues on teaching us that we are truly God's workmanship. Another way of translating this is we are God's work of art. You are God's artwork. He truly desires and loves each one of you, and you are unique. You are a masterpiece that He is continuing to work on, to shape and form, to make you into the beauty of who He has called you to be. You are His masterpiece. I invite you when days that you're feeling downtrodden, when your heart's feeling down, when you're feeling frustrated, when you're not really quite sure how things are going, remember this truth of who you are. You are God's workmanship. You are His masterpiece. You are His art. But then we continue on with this beautiful truth. You are a citizen of heaven. And how true that is and how that impacts each and every day. We all will slip through this life, but we will not slip through the fingers of God. We are continually citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is sure and true. We know where we will be, and so we can get up every single day and walk with hope and confidence and joy in God because we know that no matter what, we understand where we're going to be. You are a citizen of heaven. And then last but not least, you are adopted into God's family. Some of us wonder sometimes, depending on our past, depending on our experiences, what kind of family we may have. You have a huge family. You have a really big family. Because not only do you have the Christians, the brothers and sisters alive today, you have all of them that have been alive throughout the centuries. And so you have a great cloud of witnesses, and they are cheering you on. Every single time you wake up in the morning, they are cheering you on. That you continue to walk in the ways that lead to life. That you will live and work and be in faithfulness to God. That you will give God all the glory. And they are praising God for you in every step of faithfulness. That is who you are. And these are parts of the truth of the identity that I invite you to claim as you seek to live into your promised land life now. May you have a great trophy in your heart, a trophy shelf in your heart of all the times that God has been at work in your life, the times He's poured blessing into your life. And may you, before you go any farther, may you claim anew the identity of who you are in Christ Jesus. So that each and every day may not only be a blessing, but an opportunity to love. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank You for this love that You've poured out for us in Christ Jesus. We thank You that who You've called us to be in Christ. Lord, we thank You that You have done amazing things to bring us here to this place. And most especially, the work that You've done in Christ Jesus. The taking of all of our sin upon Him on the cross that we may be made new. And Lord, help us gain a hold of that identity, that we may trust in you and love just as you do. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.